We just stop listening to that creativity that we had as children. Our teachers tell us it's not serious. We go to school or whatnot. You know, you and I were drawing a tree or something like that. And, you know, you drew a pink one. I drew like a purple one. And the teacher came by and was like, trees are actually green, you know. And slowly but surely we stop. Wrong. Yeah. So slowly but surely, I think we've stopped becoming creative. So I think remembering and retapping into the creativity that we all have as human beings is super important.
Welcome to the Greg Allen Podcast. Thanks for joining us, where we talk about life. I truly believe that everyone has a story to tell and a lesson to teach, and that's what this show is all about. So if you're enjoying the show, please head over and leave us a review. It helps us connect, inspire, and help more people like you. And I just want to do a big shout out to you for taking the time to grow and improve. So good on you. Keep doing what you're doing, and good luck in life. Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So how's your week been?
It's been good, man. I hope I live up to some of the other guests you've had. I've taken a browse and got some pretty impressive people on there. So I hope it's a good show.
Oh, I bet it will be, man. It's going to be lots of energy, lots of chats, and looking forward to getting into it.
I'm going for your number one download. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Awesome. Let's do it. Sweet. So how's your week been? What have you been doing this week?
This week has been lots of podcasts. So I've been on a bunch of podcasts and just trying to get the word out of my book that's coming out on August 4th. And we're very, very excited about it. It's called The Creator Mindset. It's being translated into two languages. I'm a first-time writer. I'm an entrepreneur, not really an author, but pretty excited that this book's getting out. And it's really about how to be creative in business.
Awesome. So how did you come about the idea of the creative side of business and writing about that?
So I started my first business when I was 9 years old. I went door to door washing cards in Los Angeles in the 80s. And, you know, you got to be really creative to make money, because I found out that a lot of people didn't want us to wash their cards. You know, we were two kind of low life kids. Yeah. I mean, not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
Right. And we'd ask people for their cards, you know, car keys to their, like, you know, 1986 Ford Taurus or whatever, you know. People have been saving up their whole lives to buy that car, and they were like, we're not giving you the keys. So we ended up like cleaning people's trash. Honestly, man, that's what we did. That was the business. We cleaned the porch out, whatever, threw away trash. But, you know, those trash bins that you wheel out to the street?
Yep.
That's what we would clean. We'd just take all the crap out. And like, I remember, oh, it was gnarly. Anyway, so I discovered that, you know, you got to be creative, and you have to go a little bit beyond the service and beyond the product. And that's exactly what we did as kids. And I've also noticed, you know, throughout my career, I've worked for others, running, you know, advertising agencies all the way to, you know, pretty much having my own businesses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I've noticed that the people who are creative are the ones that do the best. And the people that are not are the ones that tend to fail. And so I wanted to be creative, and I wanted to learn how to do it.
So how did you go? Tell me how you were creative around the washing bins business. So you start off, and it's just a typical thing. You start off with, you know, we're going to go and clean cars, but then you end up cleaning bins. That's just business in a nutshell, isn't it? You sort of start off doing one thing, test and measure, and you're like, actually, this isn't working. Change direction.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I kind of want to write a book. Like, my next book, which should be everything I ever needed to know I learned when I was 9 years old going to wash cars. Yeah, totally, man. So we washed a lot of bins out. It was disgusting. And we kind of learned just what the marketplace was doing. You know, here's the thing, man. I'm a consultant now, and I do keynotes and stuff like that. I work a lot with software companies. You probably know this. But there's so many software companies out there that try to solve problems that don't exist, right? They've convinced themselves that a problem exist, and yet they set out to solve it, but they're solving nothing for no one.
Yeah.
And so that is exactly what I learned when I was a kid, right? So we thought for sure we're solving the problem of dirty cars. We're going to wash cars because they're dirty. And it turned out that that wasn't the problem. What people needed was their trash bin cleaned out. And so we were able to adapt. And I think that type of message, that type of flexibility is critical, especially today with everything that's going on in the world. Being able to be flexible and understand that creativity can get you there, I think is paramount.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have done a lot of changing in directions in my businesses and even starting businesses that I thought were going to be really good, but then realizing the amount of effort and time and the cost associated, which you don't often think about when you're going to start a business. You think, no, we'll just do this. We'll sell it for that. It's going to be sweet.
But it'd be great.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah, but then it's the amount of time, you know, that you got to value your time as well. You can't just go and, you know, do everything for free. I think a lot of people leave the time out, and when we put that back in, you realize if it's a good idea or not, don't you?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, and having the experience to have done that, Greg, I think is like super critical. So, I mean, you understand, you're an entrepreneur, you have businesses and stuff. You know that, you know, you got to make a few mistakes before you get it right. And we're so afraid these days of making mistakes that we try not to make them at all costs. But what we're really missing is opportunities. So, you know, if Richard and I, Richard was my best friend when I was a kid, you know, went door to door washing cars, and then we gave up because nobody let us wash their cars, we'd be like 99% of businesses out there today. You know, they just give up at the first roadblock, or, you know, hey, nobody's buying our product anymore, and we're done. But what we were able to do is to adapt to a new market, and you have to be able to adapt. And for me, the wellspring of adaptability comes from creativity.
Yeah, right. Cool. So how do we access the creative mind more to, first of all, I think, be comfortable with failure, be comfortable with getting it wrong and making mistakes, like you said. But then how do we activate the creative mind to help us come up with better solutions and keep navigating through something that might not be working so well?
So, yeah, brilliant question, man. I've got some tips that I write about in the book. The book's got 92 tools on how to be creative. And the first one that I write about is how to think like a child. So, Greg, I believe that we were all born creative. And then as we get older, we just kind of screw it up. We just stop listening to that creativity that we had as children. Our teachers tell us it's not serious. We go to school or whatnot. You know, you and I were drawing a tree or something like that. And, you know, you drew a pink one. I drew like a purple one. And the teacher came by and was like, trees are actually green, you know, and and slowly but surely we stop. Wrong. Yeah. So slowly but surely, I think we've stopped becoming creative. So I think remembering and retapping into the creativity that we all have as human beings is super important. So I think one thing that you could do today, you're listening, right? You've got a business and you want some actionable tool. The thing that you could do today to become more creative, it's to start thinking more like a child. When we're kids, we make, you know, plenty of mistakes. The stakes weren't high, and we weren't afraid to fail. And just having that energy as we approach business is critical.
Yeah, I think coming back to thinking like a child and the framework that schools and our parents and different people sort of put us in over time. You know, constantly told you're wrong or you're marked wrong in your test and, you know, whatever. It sort of, it makes you go through school and become a part of the framework. I think I was just thinking, like, in school, I was always getting in trouble. I was hyperactive. You know, I'm still hyperactive. I got lots of energy all the time. Yeah. Which is great. Now everyone's jealous. They're like, how do you have so much energy all the time?
Right.
But going through school, it's like I didn't accept, you know, I wasn't the most academic kid. But I wasn't except not being me, and I had to be, you know, and I'd say that I'm creative, and I'll change directions often. Sometimes it's overwhelming for other people how often I'm changing directions, I'm like, it's not working good enough. But we just learned that. Doesn't matter. Change direction. Like, always changing directions. So what do we say to maybe some kids that might be listening to this or parents of kids, and how do we get them to not lose that? Because obviously we can talk about how we can get it back, but how do we not lose it in the first place?
You know, I think it's, and it's a really good point. I think we got to do a little bit better with our schooling, our education system, the way that we foster children's creativity, I think is really important. And the way that we allow kids to kind of be themselves and not, you know, constantly correct them and sort of kind of beat reality into them, I think is incredibly important and something that, you know, we just don't do enough of. I mean, I don't know. Do you have kids?
Yeah, I've got a 6 and a 3-year-old.
Perfect. Yeah, so I've got a 3-year-old, and like, you know, their imagination is wild. And sometimes I have to catch myself even, and I'm supposed to be, you know, the guru of this stuff, but I have to catch myself from going, whoa, that's like, that's too out there. That's too crazy. Yeah. But I think those are the ideas that are going to be incredibly useful for kids later in life. I think it's really about us as parents, as educators, as adults, you know, just being like, hey man, you know, let them kind of run. I think those ideas and the imagination and the play is something that we got to let kids do.
Yeah. I think I'm a victim of that as well. Even though I'm super creative and I like to think outside the box. And I remember I was talking to my parents about, I love this Final Fantasy game. I love that there's dragons. And I love that you've got this massive sword, and I love it's all like not real, you know?
Right.
And my parents used to go, that's not real. Like, that was their thing. Like, and I was like, that's what makes it awesome, you know?
Yeah, totally. I we got to do a better job. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't matter that it's real or not real. It's okay that mind is developing into something amazing. Here's the thing, man. We're set up as a society across the world. And I've studied it with the book I published with McGraw-Hill, right? And they went through and they were like, well, where did you get this piece of information? Where'd you get that? And they cross-reference and everything's like legit. Yeah. It's really cool, right? So, no matter where you are in the world, we are so overdeveloped on the analytical side. We are very good with numbers and spreadsheets and that kind of stuff, but we're super undeveloped on the creative side. And I'm not saying like get rid of the analytical side, right? But without combining both the creative and the analytical thinking, we're never like fully operating as, you know, to our full potential.
Yeah, totally. So with the kids, coming back to the kids as well, I know sometimes even my son would be, you know, I'm a dragon or something, and he would be whacking me, and sometimes, no, stop it, you're being silly, like
right.
And it's so natural for us to just be like, stop it, don't do it. But like, how do we not get injured by our kids,
right?
When they're hitting you with a sword, which is a big stick,
right.
And how do we? I know that's something. I'm just reflecting on my own kids now, and I'm like, well, there's those times where I'm like, stop it, don't do it. But it's like I'm at risk as well. So where's that balance?
You're worried about your 3-year-old, like, doing some damage there with the stick? I mean, like, you've
but to other kids old, like, walking around, it's like, if I'm all like, awesome stick, man, yeah, hit me, like, and then he goes off to some other kid and just whacks him, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think it's about the stick per se, you know. I think it's about kind of the imagining, you know, what the stick can do and stuff like that. Like, I'm not out there saying that, you know, kids should go hit each other with sticks. But, you know, I think that play and that imagination is really good. Dude, I don't know. You're a parent, right? Even if he didn't have a stick, you'd be like, all right, enough with the fairies and the, you know, and the imagination. Dad, look, I've got a, you know, a wand. It's magic. And, you know, he's holding nothing. And, you know, he's running around. You're like, all right, dude, enough. Like, settle down, you know, go see what your mom's doing, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think we got to get a little bit better at, like, not getting in their way.
Cool. Awesome. So that's, allowing it to go through and keep their creativity as they grow up. So, in terms of someone who wants to reconnect with their creative mind, if they're not feeling very creative, if they feel like a mistake puts them down, what can they be doing to feel more comfortable about being more like a kid and thinking like a kid without being ridiculed, them feeling like they're going to get ridiculed or, you know, the rest of it?
Yeah, for real. I think that, you know, I think that it's really important to start, you know, to train our mind to think a little bit more like we did as children, to take risk and to be free. But I also think it's part of our responsibility to start saying yes sometimes, right? So, you know, if you're really worried about being ridiculed because you have a bunch of ideas and stuff like that, I suppose that it comes from an area of maybe, you know, the fact that you say no all the time, right? Because if you're afraid of taking a chance, you probably are a no person. When somebody comes to you with an idea, you say no. Someone on your staff has some different way of doing something, you say no. And you're not alone. You're like, you know, again, you're like 99%, 99.5% of people out there. But try saying yes sometimes. You know, Greg, like, just try saying yes. It puts yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit by saying yes. So you get into situations, especially in your private life, where, you know, you kind of are, you know, you're invited to a party or a dinner or something, or, you know, today it's all, you know, social distancing, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, when you put yourself in a position of being slightly uncomfortable, you have some creativity that starts to pop up to help you kind of deal with the situation and deal with what's going on. And creativity comes from being uncomfortable, and that being uncomfortable is actually really good for us.
Yeah, I find that really fascinating to hear that you don't really use your creativity until you're in a place of discomfort.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so I guess I'd say personally, like, I'm constantly putting myself in uncomfortable situations all the time, and it's so I guess that's I'm practicing the creative mind, problem solving. I think I really enjoy or addicted to the problem solving side of things.
Yeah.
So that's
It's about pushing yourself a little bit out of what you're used to. Dude, we have such structured lives. It's insane. I did a study a while ago for an article I was writing, and it turns out that in the shower, right? Let's say you shower, right, once a day, hopefully. You go, you know, into your process of showering is the same day in, day out, right? The way you put soap on your hands, the way you shampoo, right? The way you do every damn thing in the shower is scripted. It's crazy. Look at the next time you take a shower, look at what happened, or a bath, or however you do it. Look at what happens and start laughing at yourself because it's just the same thing over and over again. If you do this with your left hand, you do this with your right hand, you know, you're always kind of scratching at your wrist. Why? I don't know. I always scratch at my wrist with my fingernails when I shower. I don't know if it's like, It's just that's what I do. And so I bet that you, Greg, if you were to start to pay attention to the patterns that you do, you'll see that you do it the same. And that's just one, like, microcosm of an example. If you shower the same way, right, and you apply soap and all that stuff the same way every day, day in, day out, what else in your life are you doing that you are completely on autopilot on? And how incredibly, you know, lacking in creativity is stuff like that. And it's something that you can change today. When you're listening to this, you know, tonight, go take a shower, do things a little bit differently. Don't turn on the water the same way. You know, don't soap up before you shampoo, before you do the conditioner. Try to do the shampoo and the conditioner first. What will happen is your mind will literally, there will be a shift physically in your mind where you'll start to understand, hey, this is a little bit different. And you'll start to come up with ideas. And those ideas that you come up with, even if they're dumb, are really creativity trying to get out.
Yeah, awesome. So it's an interesting point you're making there, because I believe if you are running a program, like you're saying, it's just a program that you're running, and we talk about mindset and energy a lot in this show, and if you're running the same program, you're not creating your own energy. So you're just, you're running at very low energy every day. So people wonder, like, why is it hard for me to go and do something different, or why don't I ever have the energy? It's because you're not ever using your energy to shift. Like you said, I don't know, what I really enjoy to do is to get up and go somewhere different with the kids in the morning. And they'll be like excited about that. But also it's challenging my mind, and it's also challenging their mind. And we're going somewhere different every single time. And so they get excited about that. And I think, you know, that creates more energy within me too. The days when I go and do that are the days I have the most energy. So do you have any correlation to energy and, you know, the people that do constantly shift things up and that relationship there?
I think that, you know, what you're doing with your kids when you're kind of doing something different all the time is that you're opening your mind and your environment to learning. And whenever we're learning, we're doing something new. And whenever, you know, we're doing something new, we're being creative. So I think you're absolutely 100% on it. But, you know, Greg, you're the exception, not the rule. Most people, the overwhelming majority of people, it's what I wrote the book for, won't do that. They'll go to the same park with the kids and play in the same playground and do kind of the same thing. You know, maybe they'll change it up a little bit, go to a different, you know, playground or the beach or, you know, a lake or whatever, you know, once in a while to kind of change it up. But people are creatures of habit. And it used to make a lot of sense, Greg, like, you know, when we were, you know, early man and stuff like that, you know, we had to have those kinds of routines because they meant survival. But today, those things don't mean survival anymore. And they're really, really bad for business. And they lead to a world where, you know, new things are not coming out and different things are not coming out. And, you know, businesses are just kind of stuck in the same old routine. And, you know, I think it's up to us to kind of break that routine, just like you're doing, in order to awaken creativity, awaken that new energy that you're talking about, and sort of, you know, free ourselves up to get out there and embrace life.
Yeah, I 100% agree with what you're saying as well. I do feel there's a place for routine and habits. And I think if you can schedule it in, then you've got time to be creative and you've got time to run your habits and your program. And yeah. I think because program and habits and routines are so good for productivity. So if you're trying to get more done, like you got to do more of those. But when you're in like work mode, I call that, which is like you're in the zone, you're working, you're hitting tasks off, you're going, go, you're not being creative and you're not thinking how you can get out of this. And that requires some space. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Listen, I did a talk at a keynote, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 people, something like that, before the whole COVID thing. And I had a guy come up to me afterward. He was in the restoration business. You know, disaster restoration. So like your house floods or you have a kitchen fire or whatever. So they come, they cut out the drywall, you know, and fix it. And so, you know, he was like, Nir, this is a great lecture, right? You got me super inspired, but how do I use any of this stuff? Like I've got real deadlines and I've got, you know, while you were talking, I was like, oh yeah, creativity. But then I was thinking, I've got two proposals that need to go out the door, like now. And in fact, just talking to you right now, I kind of want to go write those proposals. I'm like, no problem, dude. What are you going to go write? And he's like, I'm just going to get on my thing. I'm going to shoot off some emails. I got to fill out some information, customize the quote, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, would you say that you're kind of on autopilot on there? And he was like, well, yeah, it's because I'm productive and I'm getting stuff out the door. And I'm like, okay, so what exactly are you doing then? And he's like, I'm getting a bid out the door. I'm like, how many bids do you get approved versus how many you send out? He's like, I don't know, maybe 30%. I'm like, damn, that kind of sucks, don't you think? He's like, yes. Oh, Nir, that's industry. It's better than industry standard. And I pride myself. I have you know, 200 trucks or however many. I have 1,200 employees and stuff like that. I'm like, listen, man, let's apply creativity right now to your business. Right now. Are you cool with it? He's like, yeah, let's do it. What am I missing? I'm like, why are you sending out a proposal that you have a 70% chance of rejection at? What do you think you can do to improve that? He's like, well, you know, I've never really thought about that. I'm kind of in the volume game, right? And I'm like, time out, dude. Look at your thing. Let's see what we can do. And he's kind of like, wow, you know, I've never thought of creativity in that way. And we ended up talking a little bit more. But what I urge you to do, you know, no matter what business you're in, you have those set routines. And yes, sometimes it means business is getting done. That's the analytical side. That's 50%, right? But what I'm asking you to do is add 50% of the other side of your brain that'll actually stop and go, okay, what am I doing? What am I really, really doing? And is it effective? What can I change? I get hired. So Greg, I consult, I think I told you, but I get hired and people are like, dude, you're here. Help me out. Give me some ideas and make this thing creative. But I really can't do that because I don't know what business you're in. I don't know what your listeners do. They've spent their lifetime developing habits and expertise in that business. I haven't. What I want to do is awaken creative opportunity in that person. So he can look at, in this case, he can look at his, you know, proposal and go, you know what, we really need to change this or that. I ended up doing some consulting for him and he called me later and he was like, I started making house calls. I'm like, how's that? He's like, oh, it's great, man. I haven't seen a customer in like 10 years. What are you doing? He's like, oh, you know, we have like 300 trucks. And like, you know, he went through the whole rigmarole, right? He doesn't need to go out anymore. And I'm like, yeah, but what did you learn? He's like, oh man, I've got a great crew in this section and they're doing something new. And I didn't even know about it. They've got this method and that method. And I think I'm going to take that and incorporate it company wide. And like, I get goosebumps when I hear stuff like that. Cause I don't want, like, I'd love to take your money, Greg. Like, let's do it. 2-week engagement. I'll charge you a lot. It's going to be great. Right. And you're going to learn a lot. But what I really want to do is have you to come up with those ideas. I want your listeners to come up with those ideas. I want to awaken a spirit. You know, you call it energy. And I think, dude, energy's fine. It's cool. It's great. You know, I don't care what it is, and as long as it kind of, you know, pays my mortgage. I mean, to be honest with you, man, it's all about sort of entrepreneurship and you know, getting people to pay and enjoy your product and service. I think it's a high and noble calling.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know if you know, but I do a lot of business coaching with electrical contractors. And yes, I'm always pushing people to get outside of their comfort zone. I always say, if you are in a position where you have to try and get more work to keep your staff busy, that's better than being too busy where you're stuck in work mode, right? So I often try and get people who are flat out sole traders or sole proprietors. They're out there, they're working all day long, they get home, they're quoting, they're invoicing. It's just busy, busy, busy all the time. And they've got their habits, they've got their routines, but they get stuck in this cycle of, yeah, I can't grow. So I say, put on a tradesperson, put on a staff member, give them that work so they can get productive. They can follow the routines, they can follow the procedures, and you give yourself space where you can think about your business for once. Yeah. And that's when their creative mind's activated. So
no doubt, it's solid advice. Most of us spend, and you know it, dude, you've done it, I've done it. Most of us spend our time working in our business, not on our business. And the more time we can spend working on it, the better.
Yeah, totally. So what advice would you give someone that may be feeling overwhelmed with the amount of work they have and you know, they want to try and find some time to connect? What would you say to someone like that?
So I believe in delegation. I have in the book, we talk about a 4P process, right? People, product, people, process, product, and profit, right? And so the people part's super important. I think you got to delegate this stuff out. Your example is brilliant. It's all about bringing someone else in, training them, and having them do that work so that you can move forward. Being overwhelmed is at work is really kind of not that bad a thing. It means that you're doing something right, right? The customers are paying and things are coming to you. So that's a pretty good place to start. But what I would advise is that people start to delegate some of the, you know, task out to a staff that can handle it and kind of do a good job. Therein by freeing them up to be as creative as possible. Listen, man, nothing lasts forever. If this COVID thing didn't teach us something, it's like there's something just, you know, just out of sight. It might happen tomorrow, might happen next week, it might happen in a month. You know, I believe that things only happen in business in what I call like a band of time, right? There's only like a start and an end to it. And then you kind of are like in that cycle. And for me, being busy and being like overwhelmed is a pretty good sign that you are probably in the peak of that band of time. And, you know, on either side of that peak is opportunities for creativity, whether it's you bring somebody in to help you or whether you sort of, you know, change your model and modify it and then grow and scale that growth. So I feel like everything that happens is an opportunity if you have the right attitude and you look at it in the right way.
Man, how many people have changed their careers or the way they do business because of COVID? Like that has completely blown people's, you know, businesses totally up. Yeah. So what are some examples of people or businesses who have embraced this situation that we've been forced onto us? On this, I would love to talk about how we can create what COVID has created for us. That's like people have been forced to change, but I feel like people can choose to change as well. It's just they don't.
No doubt. I think that, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention, right? I think that's absolutely true. But why? Like, why go through all that pain when, you know, here's the thing, man. It's like we've been operating our whole life in business on a half tank of gas, and we're constantly beating our heads against the wall, wondering why we're not there yet. You're not there yet, right? Because you haven't combined the optimal strength of your thinking into one super unit, right? You've just been like kind of scraping by, and the best schools and the best institutions and our best framework that we have as a society teaches us that, hey, you know, 50% is good enough. But I'm kind of here to tell you that it's not good enough. It's not good enough to have people become creative only because there's a crisis. That sucks. That's just not, I don't know. You know, I get it. It's necessary, but why wait till a crisis hits, you know? So I feel like we need to be adding creativity to everything that we do all the time so that when a crisis comes, it's much easier on us. It's easier on humanity, easier on your staff, easier on your customers, easier on everybody to kind of deal with it, because it's not when, it's not if a crisis is going to happen, it's when. And, you know, I think that we've spent way too much time away from being in touch with creativity. So we have this COVID thing hit and we're all like, oh crap, what do we do now? And we should have been doing now the whole time before the crisis was happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely know what you mean. And it's like, it is an efficiency thing, isn't it? It's like if people who practice creativity all the time, when COVID hit, it was just like, boom, change, easy. Like we didn't do that. It was quite an easy thing.
Oh man, there's a retail store by my house. COVID hit, and you know, they were always doing creative stuff. They would send like mailers saying, hey, we're doing a party, nothing's for sale. And so people would go to the store, right, booze up, and like look around and be like, "Damn, there's some good stuff in here, right?" And then nothing's for sale. It's just a party, right? And then the next day, you know, they would come in or they would call or order online, and they'd be like, "Oh, I want to grab that shirt. Oh, I want to grab that, you know, different items and stuff." It's brilliant, man.
That is so good.
Like, it's so good. That's so creative. Let's and have
you,
a party.
You don't even
no
have
sale.
To, yeah, and you don't even have to lose money on that, because if you think about what the money you would have spent on the booze or the food and the catering and everything is what you would have discounted to get the more sales anyway. Like, it's very creative.
Brilliant. And so these guys, so COVID hit, so they set up like a tent on the curb, on the sidewalk before in front of their store, and just started giving people like, two of the same sizes, three of the same sizes, different, so that they can go home, try them on, go, yeah, this is, it's a nice shirt, I'm going to keep this, but return the other two. It's stuff like that. They were right on it. Curbside delivery, all that stuff, touchless, whatever, just pay us online. They'd have their machines and be like, yeah, Mr. Smith paid. Okay, cool. Here's two sizes. Bring us one back, Yeah, I'm sure there's some a-hole that didn't bring back like a shirt, And I'm sure that there was some loss of revenue there or whatnot. But I bet you those cases are few and far between. I don't know. I could talk to them. But to your point, yes, if you were creative already, you're kind of like, cool, I got this. Let's go. And if you were not, you are in deep dookie.
I love that example of the party and the other creative things they came up with from COVID. What are some more examples? Like, I got excited about that one. You must be seeing a lot of examples of people who are changing the game in terms of what's normal. It's
for
about
sure.
Stepping outside what's normal and in thinking through, a problem. So what's some
for
more
sure.
examples that come to mind?
So another example is, so my brother's a chef in Portland, right? In Oregon, the Pacific Northwest. And he's got a restaurant or whatnot that started doing, to-go packages, not just food, but also he started putting produce in there. So he's got, produce going out with stuff that people aren't used to getting. He's got like fennel. Fennel you can find probably in a specialty market, maybe in a major chain. I don't know. I've never bought fennel at the store. I've eaten it at restaurants and stuff. He's kind of a fine dining chef or whatnot. But can you imagine sending home, whatever he's cooking, family of four, package, and then he puts some fennel in there and people are like, oh, what do I do with this? And then he's got like a little instruction. This is how you cook it. This is how it's brilliant, because you're introducing people to new foods. And when this whole thing is over, or however it changes, or however things start getting back to a different type of normal or a new normal or whatever it is, people will be familiar with that. Fruit or vegetable. I don't even know if it's a fruit or a vegetable. It's delicious.
It's a vegetable.
Is it? Okay.
Cool. What about, and so that's an operational change in terms of people being creative operationally. Have you seen much advertising, marketing, that sort of stuff that's stand out? Wow, this is where creativity really kicks in, because people, you sort of have to compete with so much now, with so much attention going everywhere. So how do we, as marketers for our own businesses, or even just trying to get the attention of friends and family, I guess, as well, how do we stand out using our creativity and our creative mind?
I think that here's the thing, right? So, and I don't know, maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't, but I think that any business that is still in business at some point had some success, right? It could be that they had wild success, and it could be that they barely like squeaked by. But what ends up happening is when a business has some success, they tend to just want to stay in the realm of what gave them that success. They double down on it. And to get attention today and to be kind of, out there in the market doing something cool and being different, you have to constantly challenge yourself into different and new methods and realms. I have a thing in the book called Rust, right? Rest upon success tool. It's pretty, it is what it is, but it's memorable. But what it's really about is a tool that I don't want people to use, right? You have to fight our natural urge to kind of rest and say, why fix what isn't broken, right? We're so good at saying like, hey, it ain't broke, why fix it? And these are no longer meaningful exchanges in business. The business that isn't constantly looking to refine, change, grow is the business that will be going out of business very soon. You need to constantly innovate and constantly create new avenues and opportunities for yourself so that you can stand out in a crowded marketplace, so that you can compete, so that you can get attention. And it's not about the gimmick, right? It's not about the website or that cool commercial that you did, or, you know, those things are important. But what's really important is having an identity that is creatively based, that your audience, whoever your buyer is, if it's, you know, people that need electrical work done at a factory or in a commercial building or in a residential building, or, you know, if it's, you know, a medical audience or manufacturing, it doesn't really matter. But having that ability to constantly change and constantly innovate and come up with new ideas will allow what you put out there to resonate with people. They'll go, you know what? That's a cool and clever idea. I bet you if we sat here for a minute, Greg just started talking about, like, you know, businesses that we liked and, you know, some examples and so on and so forth, we would see that at their core, whether it was a cool commercial or an awesome website, it was really how creative they were. And that's what differentiated them in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think businesses that refuse to adapt and change, think of like an iPhone. Like if it didn't have software updates and then a new iPhone coming out every year, it wouldn't be we don't get excited about right. What's going to happen, how it's going to change. You know, there's always a new product coming out, which is, you know, generating more revenue for them, but gets their clients excited about what they're delivering. And I feel like, you know, people just get too stuck in their ways, or they feel like, oh no, this is, especially being in an educational space as well, you see people and they're happy just humming along, just getting by. And it's like, you don't have to be, you know, that average. Like you don't have to make it be so stressful, like
totally
bouncing up and down above the net profit line, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of that comes from listening to podcasts like this.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, totally. It's constantly looking to, you know, hear other people's examples. That's why I get so excited when you gave that example about the party. My mind's just like, wow, that cost to have the party is what they would have discounted in a sale anyway, but everyone does a sale, so that's boring. Like,
no
sale
doubt
is what everyone else does.
When everybody else is doing the same thing, you gotta think of a way to do it differently, right? Everybody else is doing probably in-person training. You know, I don't know the electrical training business, but I bet you I can pull out some commonalities, right? I bet you everybody's doing in-person training, old school in a classroom in front of a whiteboard, right? Whatever. And people are learning whatever they learn to kind of get out to get their certificate or have to apply to the state and, you know, kind of move on. But, you know, how many people are doing it online, right? And how many people are doing it in an engaging and interesting way? How many people are challenging that person not only to learn the skills, but to learn some entrepreneurship? Because it's not just enough anymore to have, hey, man, I'm an electrician. I'm bonded. I'm licensed. Let's go. I need to fix some stuff. It's like, yeah. Who gives a shit, dude? How many people are there that do have that license and are bonded? How many are there? What's going to differentiate you from the next guy? And it's creativity. It's how you manifest your business, what you study. And I know that, you know, with your course, and I just looked at it, you know, online, you know, an hour ago or so, but I know that you're combining a bunch of cool stuff, right? You're not just telling people, hey, you know, this is how you're going to get to where you need to go. But these are some extra things that I know you're going to need because I've been there. And then you kind of give them the opportunity to go, you know what? Hey, why don't I try this and that? And that spreads creativity around. Eventually, Greg, this is what I believe, man. Eventually, I think if we all start doing that kind of stuff, the world is just going to be that much better a place because yeah. You're going to have interesting and new and, like, you know, totally cool solutions to everyday problems that were never there before. Why? Because we're doing things in a creative way.
Yeah, totally. I don't know if you had a chance to have a look at the Response Electrician's marketing style. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, so we do singing, dancing, and comedy for our marketing. You're going to have to watch it after this episode. I'm going to send you a link. But we sing, dance, and do comedy, and we do acapellas, and we do just really weird out there stuff. I've got like three-dimensional green screen, like singing and dancing. But when I first started doing that, people were like, look at this idiot. And they're like, and it was mainly other electricians. Like, I was challenging what they knew as normal. And so I got a lot of backlash. Now we're known as, wow, that is so creative. You know, can't believe.
Innovative.
You know, but it's been practice, you know, and it's me. You know, if I got that first negative comment and thought, oh, I'm going to pull that video down, you know, it would have stopped me in my tracks. I would have stopped growing. But it's become what it is today. And I think last year we had over 80 million views on our videos.
Wow.
And it's just because of the way that we are constantly thinking, well, how do we one up that? How do we go that extra extra bit of weirdness? How do we?
Yeah. That's awesome. What made you not pull it down? I'm curious.
I think it was just my confidence to, like, there's definitely posts that I have pulled down. I'm not saying I've never pulled down a post. Sometimes I do feel a little bit insecure and I do pull it down. I go, no, I can't do it. And it took me a long time to actually do the singing videos. Before that, we did like, I'm a superhero style videos. And like, that's sort of ones we did. And it was more like manly and macho. And that was more my thing. But when I started singing, I was like, baby, when the lights go out, you know, it's like an electrical, you know, tie in there. And I put that up. And yeah, it was pretty interesting because it just exploded. For the first time, I understood what a viral video was. We had, you know, 1,500 comments in like 48 hours, you know.
Amazing.
And it's just like, what the heck is happening? And, you know, I was looking through some of the negative ones. And when you weighed it up against the positive ones, you know, it wasn't that many. But I think we often focus on that one negative comment or those few negative comments, and it stops us from moving forward.
Yeah. You know, I talk a lot about how positivity is one of the most essential business tools that we can have. You know, when we are operating from a creator mindset, from a creativity mindset, we, you know, have to be positive about what we're doing. We have to believe what we're doing. We have to allow ourselves, you know, some slack. The one thing that can kill anything, and I think, you know, has done the world incredible damage, is the overwhelming power of self-doubt. Dude, it's amazing how strong the self-doubt monster really is, you know? I feel, you know, somewhat controversially, that we could have cured cancer by now, could have landed a woman on Mars, could have done, you know, could have probably have cured COVID by now. I know something's coming, hopefully by the end of the year, but I think that thing, everything could have been done sooner, better, you know, quicker, if we didn't have such a propensity toward negativity and self-editing. I got a quote in the book from someone at Psychology Today, you know, the magazine that you know, psychologists use or whatever, saying that, you know, something like 83% of our day-to-day thinking and our day-to-day thoughts are negative. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So, you know, you wonder why, like, you know, you wonder why, like, nothing's getting done, you know, that innovation and creativity isn't rampant in the world, because we're so good at it. You know, you're doing a singing video and you're like, crap, man, this might be, you know, too much. And I don't know. Yet, I mean, there's people working on curing cancer right now that are saying the same thing, but they're having really good ideas. Just like you had a really good idea. They're having really good ideas, but they're shutting it down. And who loses? Dude, we lose. You and I lose, and humanity and our friends and our family. Those are the people that lose when we don't get creativity out the door and embed it in everything that we do.
Yeah, I think that self-doubt thing that you talk about, is it comes back to probably the way that we were told, no, don't do that. Like, as a child, it's deep within us. We've got to work on that. We got to, you know, if we need to see a psychologist or a therapist or whatever to work through that, it's not a bad thing. Like, it's good. We want to be able to, you know, be okay with making mistakes and doing something that might not be right, and getting a little bit of criticism. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And just having belief in our own ideas is essential. And having belief that what we're doing is essential. Here's the thing, man. Like, you know, and this is cool. We're getting into a psychological conversation. I love it. But I think that we just got to let it go, man. Just got to let it go. It's like, here you are, you're doing something different. You get a few negative comments and a lot of people would have taken the video down, one or two negative comments out of it. I did a movie when I was in graduate school, that went out there and it got some really nasty comments, you know? And I would like, man, I kind of want to pull this thing down and not put it out in the world because I'm just like, you know, it's just so hard. Yeah, I got a bunch of positive feedback, but like the one or two negative ones just killed me. And I was like, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to do this. And you sort of reach a point where you can either pull it down and take it out of the public eye, no matter what it is, or you could just let it go. And letting it go is an incredibly powerful creative tool. You know, you just got to let it go sometimes and say, you know what? I did my best. I think it's funny. I think it's cool. I think people are learning from my videos or my podcast or my talk or, you know, my work in manufacturing or medicine or, you know, real estate or whatever you do. And you just got to go, you know what? I'm just going to let this one go and let it go.
Yeah, totally. I think that was the first time ever that I felt that I could be my authentic self in public, like without, like I just let it go, like you said. I said, hey, do you know what? This is important to me. Like I love doing this and behind the curtains, behind the screens and behind like the Facebook and all the other stuff, this is what I'm doing to have fun with my friends. Like I'm fooling around, I'm singing, I'm running amok. So why can't I put it out there? And that's my authentic self. And when I started to do it, because I got told so many times, don't be silly, sit down, shut up. Like so many times growing up, yeah. You know, like you feel like, oh, I'm going to have to become someone for certain people. And I have to put this barrier up and this screen and be like, well, to you, I'm this. And to you, I'm this other person. And to you, I'm this person. And we start to become not our real self. And it really sucks.
Yeah. What did you do to kind of be able to break those down?
It was the, you know, we created the video first and then I was like, and I got nervous about posting it. That's how, like, I was like, oh, and I loaded it up. I was like, oh, should I post it? And I was like getting, and the guys were in there. I was like, just do it, post it. And I was like, ah, and I went click. And I was like, ah, and it uploaded and everything. And it just went boom and exploded. And I'd been trying like semi out there stuff like the superhero stuff like I was talking about and never really got any virality to it. Like it wasn't out there enough, you know? And when I put that first one out, it made me realize, whoa, this is what needs to happen to get the attention of people. I just need to be me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're in touch with sort of a creative core that is really your identity, and it's your identity in your business too, Greg. It's not just like, you know, something that you're doing for fun. Your market differentiation right now is the creativity that you and the guys are injecting into your company, which is in, you know, educational videos and stuff like that, of doing something that other people aren't doing. And that's why you guys are getting the attention. That's why you guys are getting the accolades. And hats off to you. What's going to happen, Greg? I mean, I don't know. This isn't my sector, but, you know, if we looked into it probably in the next 5 years, we're going to see that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to start copying you. You're at the leading point of that bell curve, right? You're at the, you know, the sort of the edge that's going up. What ends up happening is when you have a good idea and you start doing things differently, things start to ramp up. And then you have all of these other businesses that are going to follow you there. You know, they're going to follow what's been working. They're the Me Toos, the copycats, the uncreative people out there. And then by the time you start ramping up, you're going to find something else works. Maybe it's going back to the old school, you know, 1976, like classroom with a chalkboard, you know, teaching style. Maybe that's going to be so radical, you know. But that's the thing about business, man. You're either in front or you're behind. That's it.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because I think like trends cycle as well, like you said. So sometimes it is a matter of just going, well, that used to work. It's not being done anymore. How about we try that and see if it works? And if it doesn't, we'll try something else. But
yes,
you know, so that's really good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In terms of accessing our creative mind, what other things could you recommend that we haven't already talked about for people to practice? Because you hear people saying like, do art, do music. That's obviously a creative process in itself. But what other things would you recommend that people could try to try and activate these?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, art is a very, very, very small component of creativity. It just so happens that that's where we get introduced to it. And it just so happens that that's where most of creativity stops for us. It's horrible, man. Like we go, oh, yeah, cool. Like, oh, look, it's a painting or a trumpet or we play guitar or whatever. And it's just a small, small portion of creativity. And that's where it stops. What I would recommend, you know, for your listeners to do if they're thinking, hey, you know, I want to get more creative and I want to have different ideas is to give themselves permission to fail. We've talked about it a little bit, but I think it's incredibly important. When you give yourself permission to fail, you allow for creative ideas to generate from the failure. I think it's very important for us to be able to do that and to be able to, you know, sort of come up with the next big idea. You just have to throw stuff against the wall and see what happens. Recognizing fear, like we talked about, is super important. You know, the self-doubt monster is super important. These are all things that if you start to practice, you know, and it doesn't have to be like earth-shattering stuff. It just has to be take a shower tonight and soap up in a different way, you know? Rinse off in a different way and start to establish a different mindset for yourself in everything that you do. And what you'll uncover is that you'll start looking at everything in a bit of a different way. You'll start looking at your business in a bit of a different way and your, you know, accounts receivables in a different way, so on and so forth. And allowing yourself permission to fail on a couple of these things will eventually lead you to a more creative place.
Yeah, I think that when you're saying be okay with, you know, making mistakes or the fear of failure, I think is one of the biggest fears that people have, fear of failure.
Yeah, and no doubt. And the flip side of that, Greg, is also the fear of supporting something that is out there. So what happens is, you fear failure, so you don't come up with new ideas. But then if you do come up with a new idea, you kill it too, because you're like, you know, you don't want to champion an idea that's too out there. You don't want to support something that you think it's an endless cycle of like self-editing that human beings are so good at, and it's really at the detriment of society at large. So what I would do is, yes, start to give yourself permission to fail. Start to let it go. There's so many failures that we just need to let go and move on, right? Sometimes we build whole businesses on failure after failure after failure that we're like, but next time we'll get it right. Sometimes it's just good to just let it go and walk away. Try something else. Try another business or a different product or a different service. But once you do uncover a little morsel of creativity, either from failure or coming up with the idea yourself or trying to be different in the market, you got to champion it, man. You got to get behind it. You got to put it out there and you got to be proud of it. And you got to say, you know what? This is something that I really want to do. Believe it or not, Kodak invented the first digital camera in 1973. An engineer there named Steve Sassen invented the first digital camera, and nobody got excited about it. Nobody championed it. Nobody stood up at Kodak and said, this is the most awesome thing ever. It's going to, make film cameras, you know, obsolete. Nobody did that. And they ended up going out of business. And now there's a digital phone, a digital camera everywhere. It's on our phones. And I mean, everywhere there's digital.
Yeah.
It's not just enough to come up with the idea. You got to back it. You got to say, you know what? Let's go for it. This is going to be great.
Yeah, Kodak probably squashed that because it's like, no, we won't. We make so much money from our, you know, film products and the little black, whatever they're called. And they just squashed it. Said, no, we're not going to bring that out because it's going to compete against our product that we have. But if they did champion that, like you said, and push that themselves, then they would be the leaders of that space.
Yeah, no doubt. They would have been the best. You know, they knew stuff about, you know, photography that other companies could dream of, you know, could only dream of. And here they are, you know, out of business, dude, they're gone. And I don't know. It's just, it's pretty sad because you can only imagine what that would have done. They had a 0.01 megapixel camera in 73, right? It took black and white pictures and it was grainy, but dude, it's 1973. So, you know, given Moore's law and technology and everything, they probably could have had like 10 megapixels in 1980, you know, and now that's a pretty good resolution, right? So like you think of these things, you have to support them. You have to go, you know what, that's a radical idea and that's totally different and I totally love it. Let's go and do it. The worst thing that can happen is you fail. And then, well, you learn from that too.
Do you have any tips around learning from failure? Like how to learn, how to better handle that mistake, or whether it's to document it or write it down or to draw a picture or to fly an airplane?
Yeah, definitely. I think learning from failure is really about creating a creative sense of character. It's about learning about yourself and who you are from a creative mindset so that you are best in dealing with that failure. So the thing that I recommend the most is what you've already talked about, Greg, is that you just got to be yourself. When you are yourself, you are able to learn from failure way better in terms of accepting that, hey, you know, I'm tired of building these three walls and being this person and this person and that person and that person. I'm just going to fail and I'm going to deal with it and I'm going to do my best and that's it. And if you say that to yourself and you really mean it and you really believe it, you're way, way ahead. Another thing I'd like to do is to question norms, right? There's a lot of best practices, and best practices are for idiots. I'm sorry, man. Like, best practices do not work anymore. They did in 1956 or whatever. They do not today. There, you have to consistently and constantly question what is being told and what is out there. And that will help you learn from your mistakes and learn from what you're doing. And then finally, I think you got to fight what comes naturally, because what comes naturally on mistakes is panic, paranoia, anger, fear, and all this junk that does nothing good for us anymore. In the book, again, right? So the McGraw people were like, you got to attribute this. Like, did you make this up? I was like, no, I didn't make it up. But literally the fight or flight, we found that the same amount of, you know, fight or flight cortisone, I forgot what it was. It's like a hormone that makes you like, you know, want to kill somebody, yeah, is triggered today in the same way by going on a roller coaster than it used to by, like, you know, a wild beast stalking you and, you know, you're trying to run up the mountain with like a stick and the thing is like, you know, biting off pieces of flesh while you were, you know, dying basically. It's the same thing. The same thing, right? You know, 30, 40,000 years of history, right? Of from early, you know, to now, and we're still triggered by the same thing. You have to fight what comes naturally in order to learn from your mistakes and to move forward in a positive and profitable way, really.
Yeah, I think maybe even deadlines would probably elicit the same emotional reactive response hormonally as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, oh, I'm gonna run out of time, I'm gonna run out of, you know, same sort of fight or flight sort of instinct kicks in. I think you really touched on a really important thing as well around, we've got to be true to ourselves. Like, we've got to say that we're wrong. Like, so many people don't accept they're wrong. Like, they'll put the wall up and they'll just say, no, I'm right, you know. So do you have any tips around people just getting better at, you know, looking inward and saying, actually, what you're trying isn't good, let's change it up, Because, you know, I think we've talked about it this whole talk, but like it might come natural, or it's definitely not natural. It's something I've worked on a lot.
Yeah.
And I journal to write down like how I'm feeling and how, you know, exactly what's going on so I can make better creative decisions and solutions to the things that are going on. But do you have any tips for people that might be, you know, people that probably the paradox of this whole thing is people listening who don't think they've got a problem won't even think this is for them.
Yeah, like oh, this doesn't affect me, I'm doing good.
Yeah, exactly. That's
my point. What do I need all this stuff for?
Yeah,
I get that quite a bit too. You know, people, especially when I'm out keynoting and people are like, "Ah, we're doing fine. We don't, why change? Things are working." And again, I think that things will only work for a certain amount of time. Listen, ego is one of the, and we write about it in the book. It's just, you know, and when I say we, I mean like the royal we, the editorial, it's like me. There's no we, there's me. Yeah, Greg, ego's impossible. I you know, it's just so hard. I got bought in to consult at another software company, and they were like, you know, they were infested by ego. And I basically told them that, you know, nobody there is willing or able to change and be receptive to change because everybody's so convinced that they're doing the right thing. And I tell them, you guys are going to go out of business within 18 months. And they're like, thank you very much. Here's your check later. And, you know, you can't help everybody all the time. But you know, you really have to be honest with yourself. This isn't like, you know, a competition. This isn't, you know, who can be, you know, less, you know, susceptible to this stuff. I mean, you're either into it and you want to improve yourself or you don't. There's a lot of people that don't want to improve themselves. And that's fine. That's fine too. You know, you're running a risk of not being competitive and not staying in business and not, you know, growing and learning from your mistakes. But if you're willing to do it, if you're willing to put in the work, the rewards are incredibly powerful. And not just financially, but, you know, in other aspects of your life too.
Awesome. Really good insight there on that. Cool. Well, anything else that you'd like to add, Nia? Before we finish up?
Greg, no, I'm good. Dude, thanks for having me. This has been a really, really good talk. If any of this sounds good, please buy my book. I know, yeah, like, I'm
what's
not...
What's the title of your book?
I'm not like a great... Listening? Yeah, yeah. It's called The Creator Mindset. It's available now. It goes on sale. It's pre-released now, but it goes on sale August 4th. And I'd really, you know, it took me 7 long years to write this thing. And I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not an academic. I've taught before, but I spend most of my time in, you know, consulting, you know, running companies, or, you know, having multiple businesses that I run, not in the classroom and not, you know, in the stacks with books. This is a practical guide on how to become more creative. And if any of this sounds interesting to you, I sure would appreciate it if you were to look it up and maybe get yourself a copy.
Awesome. Really appreciate your time and thanks for sharing your knowledge and expertise.
Thanks, brother. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Cheers.